And you just have to say to them, never be intimidated. We are all learning. And they do it. It's amazing.
Welcome to Classical Etc. You're in the studio with Memoria Press.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Classical Etc. I'm Jessica Gardner, and I'm joined today with Paul and a returning guest, Kathy Becker. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Yes, Kathy is the director of our schools division. She leads the team there. They serve schools all around the country in implementing a classical approach. And we are so glad to have you.
It is great to be here.
Yeah, and have you back. Today's episode is going to be such a good and interesting conversation because, Kathy, you are a part of a division, I think, of Memoria Press that a lot of people might not know about. So I'm excited about this conversation and what we're all going to learn. But with every episode, before we get into it, we always share what we're reading. To give Kathy a little time, Paul, how about you?
I have made progress on and have not finished Red Pony by John Steinbeck.
Okay.
It's embarrassing that it's taken me this long, but it is a wonderful, wonderful little book, but not for children. I mentioned last time that I started listening to it. And I had our foster child in the car with us, and she was enjoying it, right? In the very beginning, it's very pleasant. This boy gets his little red pony, and I'm glad that I kept reading or listening to it without her in the car, because the red pony ends up dying, and then he gets this he gets this other horse that is pregnant, but then the birth doesn't go well, and it's real life, like Steinbeck's gritty, right? And this is like. Even just dealing with animals, and you realize just how tenuous life is. Mm. And this boy's learning how to, from an expert on how to try to treat animals and how to care for them and, you know, breed them, all these sorts of things. But even the experts he's having his own issues because the first one died, right? He's like, I can't even promise you that something's going to come out well because it's not in my control.
What a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a great lesson, but probably something more for, you know, 14 and up kind of thing. Mm. Not for younger kids because it's real life when, you know, when your life depends on the next horse being born healthy. Right. So,
yeah,
it's an interesting book. Short though. 3 hours total listening.
Oh
yeah. It's not long at all. Okay. I went for something short, and it has taken me a very long time. But maybe this gives hope to our listeners. I mean, since we got our foster kids in home, I mean, my reading time plummeted. So, you know, it's creeping back up slowly.
Oh, Kathy, how about you?
Okay, so recently, this shows that Memoria Press is such a family, right? So I was speaking with one of the heads of one of our trademark schools in Phoenix, Katie Meeks, and she mentioned a book to me, A Severe Mercy. This is not a novel. Have you read this book?
I've talked about it on the show.
Oh,
it's
yes.
A life-changing book for me.
Yes, yes. Great book. And so, yeah, I just read that like last week and it was like, oh, so good. So,
you finished
so
it.
So good. Yes.
Oh.
Wonderful. His searching for God, his finding God, just everything. A wonderful, wonderful book. But, you know, we always have like 4 or 5 books laying around our house, don't we? We are always reading. Wherever we are in the house, there is a book. So there's another book that is not a novel, but it is a great book. It's by Sherry Turkle, and it's entitled Reclaiming Conversation in the Digital Age. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I picked it up just looking at it as a reference book, and that book just pulled me in, and you just trudge through that. You don't trudge. It's interesting. And it's all about how we need to talk like this and the importance of that in the digital age. And yeah.
So, here we are recording our conversation for other people to listen to.
But it's important to sit and look at faces and all of that. So that's been a great book.
I bet that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Even considering like the dignity and the value of a human conversation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Yes.
And it's called what again?
It is called, I actually wrote myself notes because I never remember names, Reclaiming Conversation in the Digital Age.
Okay.
Sherry Turkle.
Yeah. That's interesting because in my house, it's a joke that, you know, 9:30 comes, 10 o'clock comes, and I'm like, I turn into a wholly different person because I need to go to sleep. But when I have people over for dedicated conversation, it's one thing to just have people over for like just a gathering. But if they're coming over to have a conversation where everybody knows we're going to sit down in a circle and we're going to talk, mm-hmm. I can be up till 3 a.m. and I just won't stop. Mm-hmm. There is something that I find extremely energizing about dedicated conversation. Mm-hmm. So it would be an interesting book to read.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. That's one for the list for me.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's a great book.
Oh, good.
Also recommended by another person in our Memoria Press family, the head of our trademark division. I mean, we are all reading. We are all growing all of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to be in that group of people. And so it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We are always chatting in the office about what we're reading. I know we talk about it here, but we talk about it all day long.
We do. And we at Christmas, we give each other books.
We do.
Which you gave me a Severe Mercy years ago.
I did. Yes
you did.
I did.
And it has not been, I have not even cracked it open. And now it's probably packed away in a box in the basement. Mm-hmm. So not because we had to pack away anything that the kids could get and throw. The first few weeks were difficult to say the least, but we're in a better place now. We could probably unpack them, but then there's the whole unpacking process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So an energy barrier.
Yes. But I do. I mean, I have stacks that are a foot or two tall next to my, I think I've got a couple next to my bed. I've got one on my dresser. And so like I have plenty of books to read.
This is how we live our lives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Surrounded by books.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a great way to be.
It is. Mm. Our friends. Our books are our friends. Yes. Oh, well, let's get to our conversation about schools today. Kathy, you visit schools all around the country, from New Mexico to New York City. There's so much diversity in what you do. And I would love to hear from you how a school's particular context factors into how you guide them in implementing a classical approach.
Mm-hmm. So it is true. We work with so many schools in the schools division, and any of our school representatives will tell you that wherever you go, there is a culture. Mm-hmm. And I think if you've not traveled the country and been in these schools, you can make an assumption and you don't know what you're talking about. It is amazing the difference in schools. So you go to the small rural school. I'm in Idaho. Mm-hmm. I'm in Eastern Idaho. I am in a small Lutheran school, a K-6, that has just started and picked up all of Memoria Press curriculum. And it's a rural community. And the way they approach their school, it's from their perspective of the people who live there in the community. Compare that to another school, for instance, a group of schools that I work with on the border, mm-hmm. South Texas, McAllen area, right on the border, dual language school. Mm-hmm. We had a regional there last summer. This is a dual language school embracing Memoria Press, embracing classical curriculum, growing, thriving, being lifted, enjoying, some translation work going on there. Fort Worth, Texas, another dual language school.
Translation work, meaning translation into Spanish.
Translation into Spanish, a school in Fort Worth. I have been in a classroom of second graders reciting our second grade recitation in Spanish. That is a beautiful picture. Mm-hmm. When you hear the teacher teaching English grammar recitation in Spanish, and you know the program, and, you know, I'm a little bit Spanish literate just because I work with a lot of those schools, and I live in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But you are picking up on all of this, and it is a pure delight. I have to say, it's amazing.
I'm stuck on this English grammar recitation in Spanish.
In Spanish. I know. Can you imagine?
So they're using that program to what teach like agreement of subject and verb. And
so what they're doing in that particular school is they have half the day in English, half the day in Spanish. Mm. When the students come into the school in kindergarten, 50% speak only Spanish, 50% speak only English. Mm. The population of that school would be probably 100% Hispanic. Mm-hmm. But their families, you know, have had different experiences. Mm-hmm. The goal of the school as far as language is that by fifth grade, then they transition to only English. But all mm-hmm. of those students will be fluent in both Spanish and English. Mm-hmm. And so they delve in. It's amazing. Unless you've seen it, you can't understand how wonderful it is, mm-hmm. you know. And then there's the school in El Paso where you go. And it's hard scrabble. El Paso's not a wealthy city. Mm. But the people make the best of what they have. Mm. And it may be a part of the city that is not attractive. And this church they rented from was not attractive. But you went into the classrooms and they had made the classrooms beautiful. Mm. And there is a sense of beauty and goodness and the classical curriculum is just thriving in that environment. Mm. And so students are being lifted. I know that some people think that classical education is an elitist endeavor. Mm. But when you really visit classical schools around the country, the average classical school is not 500 students who have a very high tuition. Mm-hmm. It is 100 to 150 students, mm. and they have a small budget. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a state, you know, that supports private schooling, that's wonderful. Other states don't, mm. but it has not prevented these schools from going forward. And so these are people from our communities that are coming together to embrace this education from all places in life. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing to be involved in. I feel like as school representatives, we are so blessed mm-hmm. that we get to have that inside picture. I've seen these people in the trenches actually doing this work. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
Kathy, I'm curious. You talk about these schools that are on the Mexican-American border and them using Memorial Press curriculum, but do you see them like choosing different literature mm. for, let's say, for when they're doing their Spanish, like the classes they're doing in Spanish? Are they making those sorts of changes?
They will use primarily our literature. They might use a Spanish translation. Mm-hmm. Particularly the school in Fort Worth will look for the Spanish version. Mm-hmm. And they might pull in a book of Spanish literature that is helpful to them.
Right, which they ought to,
Which they should. They really should. This is their culture, right? So we need to embrace that. Mm-hmm. It helps them. It is part of their culture.
Right.
We would not turn away from something that was part of our culture, right? That was that was rounding it out. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, they do include those books also.
Yeah.
Some mm-hmm. books that we wouldn't be aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul, you've worked in the schools division before mm-hmm. as well. And I know I've heard your stories about how rewarding that it's been to you.
Yeah. Well, and there's, I mean, so many different situations, which, I mean, as Kathy's pointing out, the first time you go to a school, you really have no idea what you're going to find, mm-hmm. right? So this is sort of cookie cutter idea of classical education. That's not what's out there, right? Mm-hmm. What's out there is real mm-hmm. people trying to say, okay, what is universally good, true, and beautiful that mm-hmm. I can pull from, you know, that this has been handed down over the ages. there's resources available to my teachers to be able to teach it. And how do I make that present in the real present day of mm-hmm. these students' lives? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, there's one school I'm thinking of that they asked for a very particular, training and we went in and did it. And it was another dual language school. And I was doing everything in English because my Spanish had probably gotten rusty by that point. And, you know, but I had teachers that came up and it was very clear that Spanish was their native tongue mm-hmm. and probably what they spent their days in, right? Their English mm-hmm. was broken, but they came up and they were very grateful for it because they could understand it. And they were like, this is amazing, mm-hmm. you know, that we're able to give this to our kids. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've seen it, but I'm also thinking of school in rural Tennessee, you know, mm-hmm. where there was a lot of hesitation about, you know, what's the role of Latin, right? So it's not just particular, cultures or anything that have a hesitancy towards the manifestation of classical education that we are trying to offer them. Everybody struggles with it in some way, shape, or form, right? Because it's a calling to something greater than ourselves. It's a it's a calling towards, because if you believe that there's an objective truth, beauty, and goodness, then you don't get to define that. And that's hard. It's hard for all of us.
Right. And I think because of progressive education, we, for the most part, except for Paul.
Don't be doing this, Kathy.
He's that person. But for the most part, you know, we are progressively educated. And I always like to say to the head of school, because you'll have a little school, you know, maybe it's two moms who said, we need to do something. And they end up starting a school. And part of what we do in the schools division and in the Classical Latin School Association is we help schools to start. We we have a startup handbook. We do that thing. And so these intrepid souls that step into starting these schools, and they are learning. And you just have to say to them, never be intimidated. We are all learning. And they do it. It's amazing. I think of these two sisters in Central Texas who started, they must be in their third or fourth year of school, of their school right now. And basically, they grabbed that. They came to our teacher training conference. They got what they needed. They grabbed that and they said, we're doing this school. And every year, just a few more students, and it's gone forward. Or a woman in Twin Falls, Idaho, her church wanted to start a school. They started a school last year. We're at the end of her first year. She's ready to go into next year. It's going forward. It's just been amazing. You know, and when you think of not only the different areas of our country, but when you look at, for instance, when I stepped into working with Memoria Press, I wasn't ready for all of the goodness that I saw in working in the different denominational schools. So it is wonderful to see a Lutheran school in Houston and the beauty of Memoria Press within that school, to see a Catholic school in Fort Worth, to see, and there's a gorgeous Orthodox school in downtown Houston in the middle of the city, K through 16 program. I went there their first year, 40 students. They are now at 500. I mean, that's an amazing thing to see. We work with so many different types of schools. You have the regular evangelical school. You have the sort of progressive Christian school that said, oh, now we want to transition to being classical. So a lot of different schools and everyone thriving. I was mentioning to Paul, I was at a conference 2 weeks ago and was speaking to a leading African-American classical educator. And we're sitting there, we're talking. She has implemented Memoria Press in a school that she started. And we're just talking along. There's a woman next to her. And she says, oh, you need to talk to her. You need this curriculum in your school. And that woman, inner city Detroit, African-American community. And this woman began to, she asked for permission from her head of school to develop a program in her classroom. And as she developed it, suddenly, talking to her friend, she said, you're doing classical curriculum. And it was what she was learning, and she was growing, and she was going deeper and deeper into this beautiful learning. And so this woman, this now new head of this school says, you know, yes, can you help us? We want to do this. I come from a very difficult background, single mom, difficult time growing up. And this curriculum, these books have helped me to see that we can all be lifted in this way, no matter where we come from. That's a beautiful thought.
It is. And what I really appreciate about the examples that you've given is they're showing us that the values of classical education and the values of a heritage, a culture, a community, they're not in competition with each other. They can come together in a really beautiful harmony. And that's what I'm hearing. Your division and your work, your team provides a guide in those circumstances for those people, for that now head of school, or for the team of moms who wants to start something, to show them, maybe it's not a,
a competing value set. It's something that can blend together really beautifully.
Mm-hmm. These books that stand the test of time, that are relevant mm-hmm. to situations in the past, in the present, in the future, right? We were talking yesterday. So say you take Anne of Green Gables from mm-hmm. our curriculum and she's an orphan and she's been mistreated and she could be miserable, but she rises above it and she is not a victim and she chooses the beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. She focuses on the beautiful. You read about her looking out the window and noticing the cherry trees and all of these things, even at the moment that she thinks Marilla is going to return her and life is going to be terrible, but she chooses to say this good thing, right? And you have that child in one of these schools that's an underprivileged school who really has a rough time. Maybe they've been in foster care. Maybe they've had a really difficult situation. Anne of Green Gables, this old book, speaks to that child. Mm-hmm. So we cannot say certain books we would not put out there. We want to put these things out there to lift up these students and help them to see, to embrace the true, the good, and the beautiful, and that they can.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So there might be, I imagine, a teacher or a future school administrator listening who's thinking, but is that possible where I am? Can you describe to us what it looks like for you to even have initial consultations or going into a situation? What are those initial conversations look like? Because I'm sure you do those all the time.
We do a lot of that. We do. We do a lot. You know, you get the phone call. You know, I live wherever. I do a lot of work in Texas, even though I live in Arizona, because Texas is Texas. And yes. It's large. And interestingly enough, the private schools in Texas don't have financial help, and yet that has not stopped them from growing. So, yeah, you sit down, you have that talk with them, and you just talk about what is their plan. You help them to develop their plan. Mm-hmm. You help them to know, you know, how am I going to get this information out? Mm-hmm. You know, we have a timeline mm-hmm. for a startup mm-hmm. school. Mm-hmm. It's a process mm-hmm. and you just keep working at it, follow the timeline, keep in a lot of communication. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think people don't realize is that the Classical Latin School Association and the schools division, we are so available to help all mm-hmm. of those schools. Mm-hmm. It's busy. We love it. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Yeah. I really enjoy those startup conversations because you're helping people walk through things that they don't even know that they need to think about it, right? Like, what's the vision for this school? Is this school meant to be sort of a model school of the heights that a student could reach, right? If everything's firing on all cylinders, or is this a school that is going to be in a neighborhood that these kids need lots and lots of help, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be somewhere in between, right? Like, Are we going to structure our budget such that we have a lot of financial aid available and so there we're going to be fundraising a lot, or are we going to structure it such that tuition is going to be able to pay for it? Like, there's mm-hmm. there's a lot of considerations that they've got to think about, and we're happy to walk them through that. And I've had schools that have called me every day or every other day for a period of 6 months as they get started, right? And but it could be a very short conversation of, hey, this parent said this, how do I respond to that? Or, you know, my board is struggling with this issue and I need to think about every aspect of this, right? And we're very happy to help with any of that. But the one thing I want to make sure we get in here before we close, we don't even have a clock in here today, so we can go forever.
Please do.
is that this vision of what education can be is expanding outside of the United States, right? Like this, the neoclassical movement starts within the United States. It's now expanding out. I've got a meeting with somebody on Tuesday about trying to translate our Latin books into Spanish, right? But I know, thankfully because of my background, that there's a convention in Spanish on which way the cases in Latin ought to be ordered that is different from the English one. And so we need to take that into consideration. And so as I've been involved with Memorial Press for what is 13 years now, you know, early on when those sorts of conversations would happen, because this isn't like this started happening this year. It's been happening for years. But I was always worried about us just trying to say what we have exactly, we need to just take and plop down somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so even the work that we're doing, we're trying to make sure that that is appropriate for the culture. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, as the person that's reached out to me, he said, we need logic and we need Latin, you know, like the other things we can help create, you know, based on what our local needs are. Right. And understanding the tradition. But those are things that are absolutely universal. Right. So as we're, you know, doing work in Europe and different things, these things are strongly on our minds of, mm-hmm. let's not just take, we can't just take what we have and say, here, like, it's perfect for you to use. We recognize mm-hmm. that it's not. It can be simple mm-hmm. things. It's like, if somebody in Australia wants to use our stuff, they don't spell things the same way we do. Our spelling mm-hmm. program is going to be a little different,
right?
You know, and for some homeschoolers, they say, I get it, I can work with it. But schools typically need something that's very, very particular to their local area. So we try to work with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you added that. It's really,
yeah. That's the work of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the thing where if we want to do it well, we have to take our time. Mm-hmm. We can't just toss things out. Mm-hmm. It's thought through.
And it's why we have to know that our principles very, very well, because then we're making judgments based on, based on these principles and not based on, you know, whatever the major concern of the day feels to be. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if we really are driven by, you know, truth, beauty, and goodness and, mm-hmm. Love for one another, that's going to color the way we do things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very much.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was a great segue and note to end on. Kathy, it's been a privilege to hear your stories, hear the work that you do, and we are so glad that you joined us today.
Well, thank you.
And people can find more about, they can contact you, your team, learn more about Schools Division at memoriapress.com/schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can reach you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we are always available. We have representatives around the country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, wherever you are, call us, get in touch with us, email us, and we will walk you through. We visit you at your school. We do teacher training. We do regional trainings. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there for you.
Right.
We really believe that assisting and supporting schools and making classical schools successful mm-hmm. is our job. And so we love to pour in.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that was memoriapress.com/schools if you'd like to know more. And thanks for joining us today. We will be back next time. Thank you for joining us today on Classical Etc. by Memoria Press. If you like what you heard, you can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about Memoria Press, please go to memoriapress.com. This has been Classical Etc. We're so glad you joined us, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Memoria Press Podcast Network, providing a classical Christian perspective on the world of education. To learn more about Memoria Press, visit us at memoriapress.com. To connect with us, find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.